الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, as I remind myself and you again and again, Islam is the name of a practice. It is not the name of a theory. Which means that it doesn't matter how much you know, unless you practice it, it will not help you. And we see the examples of this all in our own lives and around us. May Allah give us the tawfiq to learn from those examples. The proof of a practice is what it does for you at the time when you need it. The practice of Islam, the work that we do in order to build our iman and yaqeen, the actual place where we need it is when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Actual place we need it is when we meet Malakul Maut. The actual place we need it is in our qabr. All the rest of it before that, need this dunya, is practice to win that situation. Now if we look at ourselves and say that my level of iman, whatever it is, it cannot even get me to Salatul Fajr in the masjid, how is this iman going to help me in the qabr when I meet the angels who will ask me the questions? How is this level of iman going to help me on the day of Hashar, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask me questions? How is this iman going to take me across the Sirat into Jannah? Because this iman cannot even get me out of my bed to pray Salatul Fajr. Cannot get me from my house to my masjid to play Salatul Fajr by Jama'ah. So it is very important for us to stop fooling ourselves. Because we live in this fog where we think that, you know, just because we are born in a Muslim home, just because we have a Muslim name, just because my father used to pray, my grandfather used to pray, none of this will help. What helps is your own personal practice and what we do with it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a daily test and a daily assessment report. And that daily test and assessment report is what happens when we come for Salatul Fajr or not. If we are not coming for Salatul Fajr, that is the test and that is the assessment report right there of the health or sickness of our iman. And as I said, all of this is practice. Actual test is when Malakul Maut comes, and we don't know when that is. To illustrate this is a wonderful story of this boy who used to learn judo. So he was very dedicated, young guy, in his teens, very dedicated. He used to go every day to the dojo and he used to practice, and the judo master was very fond of him. So this continued, and then one day this boy was involved in an accident and he was hospitalized and so on. And as a result of the accident, his right arm had to be amputated. So he lost his right arm. So now this boy comes out of hospital after his recuperation and so on. And he goes to meet his judo master to tell him that, you know, my judo career is over. So anyway, I'm just coming to for your blessings. So when he goes to the dojo, the master tells him, no, you start, come. Start working out, start practice. So the guy said, I don't even have a right arm. He said, doesn't matter, don't worry about it, just do. So he taught him one throw, one particular throw. This boy started practicing. So in a throw, you know, when you practice a throw, you have to fall. So this kept on, he fall and fall and fall. And now this went on for days and weeks and months, and a whole year passed. And this boy asked his master, he said, you know, this one throw you taught me, and this one throw I am practicing every day, diligently. Now 1 year has passed, you have not taught me anything else. So please teach me something else. He said, no, just do this. So again he went on and on and on. Another 1 year passed. Then he asked his master, he said, 2 years I have been doing only this throw. He said, this throw in my sleep I can do it. If I am brain dead, I can do it. I mean, this is like my breathing now for me. The master said, no, just do this one throw. He said, please teach me something. He said, no, just do this one throw. Okay. So he went on doing it. 3 years passed. At the end of 3 years, there was an international judo tournament in the country. So the master told him, I am going to enter you in this tournament. So he took him there. He entered him in the tournament. And this young guy is in his teens. So the people were very, you know, first of all surprised. Here is one-armed fellow, he wants to enter this tournament. So anyway, they took him in. The first match, which was at his level, his weight, the boy won this match quite easily. So everyone said, okay, very good, fantastic, here is your cup. Now you can go home. The master said, no, hold on, no go home. He said, I am entering him in the next level. Now the next level is a heavier weight, it's not his age and not his... So the organizer said, look, I mean, this is not, it's getting serious now. This boy has, first of all, he's a young boy. Secondly, he's got no arm, right arm. And you are entering him in a weight which is more than his. The master said, don't worry about all that. I'm entering him, take him. They took him. Now in the match, again, this boy won. Everybody is very surprised. How is this happening? And now it comes to the, so this quarterfinals finish, semi-finals finish. Now is the final, which is world champion for judo against the heavyweight world champion for judo for the year. So the master took him there and he said, enter him here. So the organizers protested. They said, look, this is crazy. He will die. I mean, that man will kill him because he is a, you know, heavyweight champion. He is the world champion. You are entering him, this boy against him. He said, there is no way this boy can win. We refuse. The master said, no, you cannot refuse against the rules. I take responsibility, whatever happens to this boy is my responsibility, enter this boy. I said, okay, they entered the boy. The two combatants, they came onto the ring. There's absolute dead silence in the whole arena, everybody is watching, what's going to happen, are we going to see this boy dying here or something? The match begins, and next thing you know, the heavyweight champion is flat on his back. And the boy is sitting on top of him. The absolute pandemonium. People are astonished. There's yelling and screaming and everything else. And the referee comes and declares his boy as the world champion for judo. So now after all the clapping and everything is over and the medals and whatnot, now the master and the boy are going home. So on the way home, this boy says to the master, how did this happen? Please tell me, how did I win? How did this happen? Because I have only one arm. This man is heavier and bigger than me. He is a world champion. But I beat him and I beat him so easily. How did this happen? So the master told him. He said, the throw that I taught you, and the throw that you practiced for 3 years, that has only one counter. There's only one counter to that throw. And that counter is to grab your right arm and you have no right arm. He said, there is only one counter. And the counter is to grab your right arm. And he said, you have no right arm. So his biggest weakness was his biggest strength. So this man said, as long as you are alive, nobody can beat you in judo. That is the meaning of practice. It is not how much you know. You might be the great Mufti Azam of the world and you can know the entire Quran, hifz and whatnot. The point is, if you lift your hands and ask Allah, will Allah give you now? That is the test. That is the test. You can be a walking library, kitab, 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 kitab. It will not help you. It will not help you. Knowledge does not give taqwa. Not necessarily. Knowledge will give taqwa if it is you know, properly used, and if it is ingrained, that is the reason why the whole issue of tarbiyah, the whole issue of islah, the whole issue of going and, you know, having yourself corrected. Otherwise, it doesn't help. It does not help. Must be practiced. And if it is practiced, then nobody can beat you. This is a story to illustrate how, even if you know a little bit, but if that little bit has changed your life, if that little bit has affected you, then that little bit is enough for you to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But even if you know a huge amount of stuff, if it has not gone inside, ilm ka agar istehzar nahi hua hai, toh kuch bhi nahi hota. Kuch bhi nahi hota. And the greatest example of this is Iblis. All the knowledge in the world. Aur mushahide ka ilm hai, wo bhi kitab ka ilm nahi hai. Ilm of Iblis, the ilm of Shaitan, the ilm of the devil is the ilm of actual experience of seeing. But that did not help him, because it did not teach him one single fundamental fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to be obeyed without question. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do this, it is to be done without question, without asking why and how and, you know, no. That is the fundamental, the fundamental principle of ubudiyat is obedience, submission. So all the ilm of Iblis did not teach him that one fundamental fact. So it didn't help him. All that ilm landed him in Jahannam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from the biggest trap of the alim, which is kibr. Biggest trap. The two people in the world who are subject to this kibr are the ulama and the umara. People with authority, the amirs and the ulama, two people. Nobody else, the jahil does not get kibr, because he knows nothing, he has no problem. He doesn't get kibr. He might have other problem, but this kibr he will not get. But ulama and umara. Maulana Abul Hasan Nadvi Rahmatullah used to say, ke zulmat ke parde se 70,000 guna zyada khatarnak noor ka parda hai. نور کا پردہ ہے علم کے معنی نور ہے کیونکہ ظلمت کے پردے کو چاک کرنے کے لیے نور کی ایک کرن کافی ہے مگر نور کے پردے کو کیسے چاک کرو گے ہی یوز ٹو سے دی کرٹن آف ڈارکنیس از دی کرٹن آف لائٹ از 70,000 ٹائمز مور ڈینجرس دین دی کرٹن آف ڈارکنیس بیکاز دی کرٹن آف ڈارکنیس ٹو ٹیئر دیٹ اوپن ٹو ریموو دیٹ کرٹن ون رے آف لائٹ از انف But who will open and tear apart the curtain of light? With what? And the curtain of light can be removed only with islah, with going to somebody who will show you that that light is not light, that light is actually darkness. That is a curtain that what you think as hidayat is not hidayat. What you think as hidayat is actually gumrahi. It is misguidance. And that's the reason why it's very, very important for us to practice and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's guidance and to make tawbah continuously, because without that, shaitan misguides us where we think we have strength. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his protection. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his guidance. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika arhamar rahim.